Hello and welcome to another episode of the Auto Trader Podcast. My name is Wandile Sishi.
Take two, and my name is George Mooney.
Yeah, take two. We had a little bit of an issue there, but we finally got our, you know, the ball moving. And yeah, welcome to another episode. I'm lots to talk about today. Lots to talk about. In fact, I've spoken about this exact topic today a few times with you on a few, I wouldn't say conspiracy theories, but theories. And that's what the show is about today, is we'll just be talking about
conspiracies.
Conspiracies, yes.
Before we get to conspiracies,
yeah.
Have we spoken about Verstappen's win yet?
We have. Last week we extensively spoke about it. There has been some developments from the last time we did speak, though.
Yes, we did. And have those developments come to fruition? Is he still world champion?
He's still very much world champion. But there was a leaked letter this morning, actually, to the FIA. And the letter came from Zak Brown, who you know is the team principal and CEO, I think, of McLaren.
McLaren, yeah.
And basically in the leaked letter, which he did confirm is actually a true letter, he was kind of extending the voice that Ferrari and Mercedes have, which is they need to be penalized quite extensively.
But is it de facto now that they did overspend?
It is. I mean,
materially,
it's definitely material. However, that's not to say that for Red Bull can't appeal it and make sure that it was calculated correctly. For instance, because they're saying no. There must have been a mistake. But I mean, they've gone back four times already. At some point, you have to be like, this is it is what it is. You guys need to kind of accept this, and no punishment will come until Red Bull does accept it. But we'll see what happens.
No punishment will come until Red Bull accepts it.
Yes.
How
acknowledges,
does that work?
Well, acknowledges the fact that it's...
They either did it or they didn't. There's no acceptance.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
I know that once a ruling has been made, you need to be like, yes, we acknowledge that it's happened. Otherwise, you can appeal it.
So if you steal something and you go stand in front of the judge and...
I do not accept this charge. That wasn't me.
I'm not going to jail.
I'm not doing it. I do not accept it.
You don't go to jail until you accept
it. I'm not saying that you have to say it happened or not for the punishment to be handed down.
Usually the punishment's worse if you say I didn't do it.
It's almost like the process of when a charge comes and you say guilty and then there's a process that's kind of skipped because you've accepted the fact that you are guilty.
Yeah, no, fair.
They are appealing the...
So they're not accepting it.
They're not accepting it at this stage.
Yeah, but then the penalty needs to stand until they've appealed their, you know.
Yeah, they're going to go back and forth and kind of prove, disprove and come to the...
I suppose I just want the championship to carry on to the end. That's, you know. I mean, Verstappen for all of his improvements, I think he's capable.
Yeah.
But... I don't think he deserves it if he was in a car that was significantly different to everybody else because of money.
That's Formula One, I always say. That's welcome to the sport. This isn't Formula Fairness. It is Formula One where innovation and money ultimately is the name of the game.
But that's what they're trying to cut out with the cost cap.
For sure. For sure. For sure.
Do you think it's a conspiracy?
I mean, there's a few conspiracies that have come out of this. I remember last year there was a safety car. There was a safety car conspiracy, and you know, many things have been. And I can't wait to see what more.
My goodness.
The social media world has to say about this. But you know, we will keep following them and reporting them. Yeah.
Are you going to watch the last few races?
Yeah. The next few ones are some of my favorites. We got COTA, love America, the American. GP. Mm. Well, I guess this will be the second one of the year. It's one of my favorite tracks. It's perfect. And then Abu Dhabi is coming up, which is also really fun. So
yeah.
I'll definitely be following it.
Cool.
Moving on to conspiracies. We've actually spoken a few times about different takes, cold takes, hot takes, and conspiracies about what's happening. And then obviously with time, you find out if it's true or not. Is there a conspiracy? Or even a hot take that you have had for the last few years, which was later either proven or that you still think is happening behind closed doors.
You're asking me that question.
Yeah.
Well, you're probably asking the wrong person because I don't do conspiracy theories. I never have.
Yeah.
You know, it's difficult because conspiracy theory, you know, takes you down a road that is in the world of fantasy. Quite
exactly.
Often.
The word conspiracy makes it seem like it's, woo, you know?
Exactly.
Whereas, okay, let's say theory. Do you have a theory that is not necessarily proven yet? I'll give you an example, and maybe we can even start with that theory, which was a proven theory, which was Dieselgate. I don't know if you remember this, but a few years ago with VW, when we found out what they were doing, it was a theory at first and was investigates, and then it became
so let's talk about Dieselgate for a second.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't believe, right, that people purposefully put together the set of puzzle pieces that end up they moved the chess pieces on purpose and it was a conspiracy from the beginning. I don't think that happens.
Okay.
I think what happens in this Dieselgate thing, personally, I think what happens is executives, people get themselves into situations where they make micro decisions, right?
Yes.
Not understanding the full consequence or outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Get themselves into situations where it just starts to snowball naturally. It's not like there's this big conspiracy thing going on. It's they get themselves into a situation that they battle to get themselves out of because, no, you know what? Let's just leave it. We'll fix it. We'll fix it at some point.
Mm.
Okay. Mm. And here's an example that is outside of the world of motoring.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a company by the name of Theranos.
Theranos, I think they're the guys who were saying that essentially you can buy this one device, it pricks your blood and it gives you all the blood tests or all the results for any diagnosis that you need.
So you can do a blood test with a finger prick sample of blood, which is literally impossible. Mm. Okay. So Elizabeth Holmes is the CEO at the center of this thing. I think that Elizabeth Holmes, and it's a classic example of how things happen, is she just got ahead of herself.
Mm.
That's all. Mm. It's that simple. She got ahead of herself. She started to make decisions which were ethically questionable because she thought she could figure it out later. And she could fix it later.
Yeah.
Without the intention to put this big puzzle piece together. There wasn't an elaborate plan to defraud people.
Yeah.
I just don't believe
it. It just became that as a result of chasing deadlines, which she had set.
Correct.
Without speaking to the right people,
Now, perhaps Dieselgate was the same thing.
No, I think Dieselgate was a lot worse than that.
Well, yeah, people made decisions, but were those decisions as a result of the position someone finds themselves in at the time? Doesn't make it wrong. It doesn't make it right.
Let's unpack Dieselgate, maybe. And then maybe you understand why I think it's a lot worse. So Dieselgate, if anybody doesn't know, a few years ago, VW was busted for, essentially, there was 11 million vehicles on the road, where there was a computer software that was built within these cars, which given under certain circumstances, basically test environments, this system would be able to pick up when the car is in that test environment. And then what the car would do was then perform at a safety mode or a safe mode where essentially it's releasing
less carbon emissions. No.
40 times less carbon emissions, but only within a specific test environment where it doesn't matter if it's VW doing the test. You could be doing it yourself. This software would be able to tell. That's way worse. I think that's very intentional.
No, that's not. I don't think that's a conspiracy theory. That's
no
downright.
It's just. Yeah, I mean, it's criminal, and they took the responsibility. We're not sure to lambast them. That we've gone through that.
But when things like Theranos and now we're about to talk about the fuel price. I don't think people can theorize or conspiracize.
Yeah,
that's a word. and manipulate the entire world into higher petrol prices. I just don't know.
That's why they're theories.
Well, I mean, that's why I'm just, having the debate with you. What do you think?
Let's talk about the conspiracy that you, or the theory, let's call it theories, that you're alluding to. So essentially, in the last few months on social media, there has been an increase of electric cars and government, those two search terms kind of being used by people as a result of this new theory that governments are kind of colluding to get the petrol price and fuel prices around the world to increase to get more people buying electric vehicles. Why would the government want to do that? The theory there is that they want to be able to control when they turn on and off a car, for instance. So there's a criminal who's driving this car,
and they want to turn it off.
And it's turn it off to kind of get rid of them. Type vibe.
Why can't you do that in a
ice? So that was one. You know,
I think it's a load of bollocks. a load of rubbish. And the reason I think that is because
you can do that in an ice car, right?
You can do that in an ice car. You don't need an EV to do that.
Yeah. For sure.
Just the thing needs to have electronics and needs to have software, which most ICE vehicles have today.
Mm.
Look at the Ford Ranger, the F4.
Mm-hmm.
It's got an app. It's connected to the internet. Mm. Volvos today. It doesn't have to be an EV in order to be connected to the internet.
Yes. Like, so that's the thinking behind that. I mean, there's a second layer, right?
No. I think whoever kind of stretched it that far.
Mm. And that's the thing. It's being stretched in different directions.
That's just like, no, come on, get your head red.
The other sort of theory is that car companies are getting involved and kind of fueling all the macroeconomics, you know, scenarios.
Okay, so there's this big meeting. Imagine this. There's this big meeting.
Yes.
Every OEM, competitor.
They sit down together. They're like, we need more people to buy EVs.
And they sit around this table. Okay. I can promise you what I'd be thinking if I was the CEO of an OEM in that room. I'd be like, okay, how can I get one up in the economic market here with you guys? I'm not going to be thinking about collaborating.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to be wanting to sell more of my cars.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so.
It reminds me of, I don't know, this is not a theory. This is actually proven. It happened December 1924. There was a meeting. It was called the Phobos Cartel.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever heard about the story.
No.
About the Phobos Cartel.
The Phobos, how do you spell that?
It's Phoebus. If you just Google that, the very first thing that'll come up, it's exactly that. But essentially what happened was the light bulb companies, what they realized is they were getting so good at their jobs General Electric. It was a few of them. It was a few of the big ones in the world. I think it was four of them. General Electric was one of them. But they got so good at making light bulbs that they started to realize that their profits were being, or rather their sales were going down as a result of people not needing to buy more.
Well, the light bulbs were lasting too long.
Exactly. So they basically all came together and decided on a set time in terms of the lifeline of light bulbs. And they would engineer light bulbs to that point only, which was still a lot more than what you would ever need. I think it's like still like 10,000 hours or something. And there were buses.
Was it cheaper to manufacture a shorter lifespan light bulb?
It was cheaper for their end profits at the end.
So it's cheaper to manufacture.
Yes.
For me, that's a good cost saving strategy.
And also you would be securing your sales for the next few years in terms of being able to project how much you're making.
I get that part, but was the decision made to extend sales or was the decision made to make more profit?
As far as I know, it was sales based and not necessarily as a
cost saving thing.
So that's a theory where CEOs do come together and kind of a decision is made across the board.
So with regards to the EV situation,
I think it's a little bit more complex than that. I mean, we know that EVs are a lot more expensive to produce one right now. So I don't think an OEM would want the gas prices to go up for the sole purpose of getting people to buy EVs.
I mean, I think what like if petrol prices go up, right, for every OEM, you're actually enabling Tesla.
Yeah,
you're enabling the biggest electric car company in the world. Yes. That's what you're doing. Why would a non-transitioned OEM do that right now?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, because it's all you're doing is just cutting into your potential sales. So
yes, because at the moment they're still selling ICE vehicles. They're not there yet.
Yeah.
You know, so why would you sit there and conspire about, you know.
It's a theory. It's a theory out there. I don't believe it. I think it doesn't make sense. But it's fun to talk about. There's actually one of our marketing managers, or our marketing manager at the business, has an additional theory on this. He believes, or he's saying maybe, that South Africa is potentially load shedding during peak hours. I think he was just angry about the traffic this morning, to be honest. That we load shedding during peak hours so people consume more fuel during the traffic. And then they'll convert to EVs as a result of that. So that's how the South African government is is also part of this.
What, we're, this load shedding, plan. We're load shedding during
peak hours,
peak hour driving time.
Yes.
In order to make people use more fuel in order for them to transition to an EV. Apple.
Come on.
Look, it's a thought. It's a thought out there. You know, you never know these sort of things. You never know.
I think Rob was stuck in traffic this morning.
He was stuck in traffic. He was complaining. It's the first thing he complained about today. I was, oh my God, the traffic was so bad. And then I told him the theory and he's like, oh, it all makes sense now.
Everything is blamed on load shedding at the moment. You know, yeah. I'm on the phone this morning on the way to the office and I had to phone back about 4 times.
Yep.
Because my call dropped 4 times.
Yeah.
And on the second go, when the other person answered the phone, I was like, is the load shedding affecting the signal? Everything goes down. Load shedding.
Yeah. Everything. Yeah. I'm sure load shedding does impact the network.
It hasn't rained properly in Johannesburg. Is that load shedding?
Eskom, why? Moving on. So the next conspiracy theory, or the next theory, let's just call them theories at this point, is it's actually quite similar to it's the opposite of the light bulb story, or you know, it's called planned obsolescence. So this is something that has been proven a few times by, you know, for different companies. Apple's one of them. They were busted for a similar approach where essentially,
well, let me explain to you what happened with Apple. So they would effectively throttle back the clock speed of the silicon chip inside the iPhone.
Yes.
Which would slow the iPhone down. Mm-hmm. Okay. But the underlying reason for them doing it is twofold. One, their new software was very battery hungry, which meant that the battery for that iPhone would deplete quicker.
Yes.
So the only way to save the battery
was to slow down its performance.
Was to slow down the performance of the phone by reducing or throttling back the clock speed of the silicon chip. Mm. So is user experience at the behest of battery life?
I think in that scenario, the conversation was let the user decide. Let the user decide, which is fair.
Well, you know, so your battery lasts 3 hours instead of 8.
Mm.
You know, versus the software slow.
Mm.
Like, which is the better one?
Let the user decide. Let them decide how they want to use their device.
So you must max your clock speed. Max the performance, have little battery life, actually deteriorate the battery faster.
Yeah, and the components.
Like, is that a consumer decision?
I would like for me, in this scenario, and I think now we're talking about specifically Apple, but in that scenario, I'd like for the choice. This app here is absolutely destroying how
you... No, it's not the app. It's the software, the actual iOS.
Well, this process is destroying the entire, you know, your battery life. This is what we suggest you should do. You can either use this slower mode. Yeah. Use a slower mode, or do you want to continue destroying your battery life? And then I'm like, slow down for me, and I'll take the worst experience for more battery.
So planned obsolescence for cars.
Yes, so the theory there is essentially that car companies are deliberately making the quality of the material, and it could be any components in the car really, die out at a certain time to make sure that you come back and buy this new component or even a new car.
Okay, forget the components for a second. Let's talk about the overall thing, and that is the planned obsolescence. Is that a bad thing? Should things last forever?
No. Well, I don't think anything can, ultimately.
So for me, why planned obsolescence is not a bad thing in the car world is because technology accelerates at such a fast pace that 5 years, 10 years down the line, you have safety issues in older vehicles.
And that's, yeah, exactly. So that was my concern is if you know that this thing can last 10 years, but it's only really safe for about 6 years... Like, then, you know, there's kind of a...
Well, it's not about being safe for 6 years. It's just the technology's advanced so much that other things are safer. Newer cars are safer. Mm. So an example is the City Golf, right? VW stopped making the City Golf. The thing didn't have airbags.
Mm.
It had traditional seat belts. It stopped being made.
Mm.
So... should they have planned obsolescence where the user, you know, it just deteriorates to a point where it's unusable, or do they just stop manufacturing the thing?
I just think that planned obsolescence doesn't make any sense in the long term for any sort of markets in general. Wow. just because, one, on both sides of the story, I just don't think there's any component that can last that long. Well, first and foremost. Secondly, it just makes your product suck after a while, regardless of, you know. And how can you make, specifically with the car, how do you make that entire thing become redundant after a certain amount of time?
Well, you just use, you know, quality of
products,
of material that has a lifespan.
Yeah.
You know, is that a bad thing?
I will let people decide. I don't know. I'm honestly on the fence.
I don't know what the answer is, but yeah. I think there's an argument both ways.
Yeah, for sure.
First of all, it's probably cheaper to use those materials, which means it brings the cost of the consumer down.
Yeah.
So there's a benefit there. Yeah. There's always a benefit.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't believe this one. I think I can't see, maybe in certain parts of the vehicle, but I can't see as overall this whole thing just stops working now because, you know, it's time for you to get a new car or a new model that's just come out.
Yeah, I don't know about these theories.
It would be difficult. And then the last one that I want to talk about is, I don't know if you've ever seen this video on TikTok. I think we'll ask the editors to kind of put it up there. But there, whenever the petrol price goes up, this video becomes popular again, which has this person going to their car and pouring water in this like makeshift engine in the boot. And they're like, I don't know why everyone's complaining about petrol when you can just use water or this water system. And it's been taken further where they speak about this guy, I think his name is Stephen Myers or something. He was an engineer from back in the day who created...
Yeah, Mike Myers is.
The
Austin
actor.
Austin Powers.
Yes, yes. He was an engineer who
Everybody's
created...
got Austin Powers inside this water-powered car.
It was another gentleman, I think it was Stephen Myers or something, who created a water-powered car. Right. Now, water-powered cars, is first and foremost, I think is not a new concept. People have been trying to get it right for many years. In fact, hydrogen fuel cell cars, you know, have water in them as more of a byproduct than anything else. But, you know, it's always been, people have been playing around with the idea of water-powered cars for a while. But people believe the fact that there's this engine that is powered by water, which is just not the case.
And it's you know, I just don't see it being,
it doesn't work.
Yeah.
People have tried it many times and there's no government who's killing out people who are trying to create water powered systems. It's been tried many times. I think the system's called electrolysis, where you kind of separate the hydrogen and oxygen and you burn the hydrogen and then that's the energy that kind of powers the vehicle. Mm. They've tried it, doesn't work, it's not efficient. So yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Well, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me because, you know, you effectively don't have a combustible chemical in water. Yes, the hydrogen as an element or the oxygen as an element in H2O are potentially by themselves, you know, combustible with other materials. But in its form as H2O, you can't burn water.
Mm.
You can boil it and it turns to steam.
Yeah. Yeah, so in the system, you basically run electricity through the water and then you separate the hydrogen and
but
the oxygen.
But look at the separation. Yes. So what I'm saying is that you have to change its form.
Yes.
Okay, so you've got to now use energy to create energy out of part of water.
Yes.
And everything has a carbon atom and an oxygen and a ultimately, hydrogen. Yeah. Ultimately, so it doesn't make any sense that you're
just missing things.
You've
got to
put
missing.
Water through this process to separate it, change its chemical makeup, and then combust.
Find a way to make that combust. And then yada yada. There's so many steps that are missing for you to get to a point where you
know. I know very very little about, you know, chemicals in that way, and for me, I can see from, you know,
yeah,
from 50,000 feet that's not going to work.
So hydrogen fuel cells or engines, what they do is they take hydrogen, kind of the second part of that step of the electrolysis.
Yeah, but the separation's already
done. It's already done, exactly.
Yeah.
And then the byproducts is, funny enough, because there's oxygen in that system, is water.
Well, that's a byproduct because
we
burn it.
Now, I mean, I think Toyota, whoever's doing hydrogen fuel cells, if this worked,
they would have done it.
You have a continuous system then where the one's fueling the other and you just have, you know, kind of never-ending fuel source.
Have you seen people try and build perpetual motion things?
Perpetual motion devices, yes. Yeah. I have seen a few.
And there's a clock
Yeah, to everything. Yeah.
No. There's a perpetual motion clock.
Okay.
Right. But ever so often,
it stops.
Mm. So it
runs for like decades.
It runs for a long. I don't know about decades, but it runs for a long time. Go and Google it. It's a clock. It's a perpetual motion clock.
Yeah.
But ever so often, something happens and this clock stops.
Yeah.
So is it perpetual motion? No.
No, because it stops, right? And that's pretty much all the theories and conspiracies we have for you today. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Thank you, George.
Go Leclerc.
Search Auto Trader.